Good Tuesday. Today is July the 29th, and you're listening to My Farm. Well, today we're going to visit with Don Weiss. Don, a farmer from Northeast Indiana, also serves on the United Soybean Board as committee chair for audit and evaluation. We're going to take some time, talk about the work of the United Soybean Board and the importance of bringing value back to the farmer's checkoff dollar. We'll be back with that after this message from our sponsor.
Sponsored by Seed Consultants, simply the best value in the seed industry. Learn more at seedconsultants.com.
Joining me today is Don Weiss. Don currently serves in multiple roles with the United Soybean Board as chair of the USB Audit and Evaluation Committee. He's also been very active in other committees. Don, a farmer in Northeast Indiana. Don, I guess first off, tell us a little bit of what's the growing season been like in your part of the state?
Well, we have gotten off to a great start, but we're in need of a rain. We'll take a rain this week. Those pop-up scattered thunderstorms typical of Northeast Indiana and Northwest Ohio seem to be rearing its ugly head through our neighborhood. We've seen the dark clouds go around us the last couple weeks, so we'll take a good shower.
A lot of folks can identify very well with that. Well, let's delve into some of your responsibilities there with USB, and one is chair of the Audit and Evaluation Committee. You know, really important as we look at the stewardship of farmers' checkoff dollars, dollars entrusted, which is nice to a board of farmer members to really decide how those are best spent.
Well, when you think about USB, you know, we're 77 farmer leaders strong in over 30 states across the United States. And our main goal is to bring additional value back to the soybean farmers in the United States. And we're doing that through a number of different projects in a number of different areas. But, you know, as chair of the A&E committee, you know, it's important, and that's what our committee does. And I have a great committee that is just continuing to look at, are those projects the best places to be spending that checkoff dollar? And is it the giving us the best rate of return? So happy to say that overall, you know, the results speak for themselves. You know, we continue to see projects that bring value back to the U.S. soybean farm, and excited to be a part of that.
Absolutely. Well, especially in light of the lower commodity prices we see right now and some of the budgetary challenges that go along with that, making sure every dollar is stretched to its maximum. One other group that you have served in a leadership capacity deals with the committee looking at supply and the action team there. Tell us a little bit more about maybe some of the key initiatives that that committee has undertaken.
Well, naturally, there's a lot of time and effort that goes into research. You know, we spend a lot of time, of course, in demand, but the supply side is just as important. When we think about what U.S. soybean farmers like myself, like others that are soybean farmers have to experience on their farms every day in regards to increasing that yield and taking care of that soybean out in the field. And we want to make sure that we have a sustainable soybean supply that's coming to the marketplace each and every year. At the same time, giving the farmer the best chance for success. So it's important that we focus on supply and differentiation. One program that's near and dear to my heart, we have acres on our own farm, and that's the high oleic soybean. Of course, a lot of farmers in Ohio have that on their farm as well. So being able to bring a differentiated product that's paying a farmer a premium. You mentioned the tight margin environment. This is a way that farmers can continue to be profitable on their farms. And just one example of where USB is spending soy checkoff dollars to bring value back to the farmer, to their farms back home.
I think that's a great example. We raise Plenish High Lake beans on our farm and have had a lot of success with it. And as you said, the premium there has really helped a lot of farmers, especially in light of what we've seen with commodity prices. Don, if farmers have questions or want to know more about the work of the United Soybean Board, where can they go?
I would just encourage any listener to go to unitedsoybean.org for more information on anything they heard today or for any information that they want to find out in regards to their soybean checkoff dollars.
Well, again, my guest today is Don Weiss. He currently serves as chair of the USB Audit and Evaluation Committee and a number of other leadership positions along the way, a farmer from Northeast Indiana. Don, thanks so much for your time. Keep up the great work.
Thank you very much and have a great day.
Stay tuned. We'll be back with more after this.
Williamson Crop Insurance, home of Decision Max. Decision Max allows you a simple solution to analyze your operation and make informed marketing and crop insurance decisions to mitigate your risks. Manage your whole operation in one place with the ability to blend counties, marketing, and insurance coverage to give a complete overview of your operation. Williamson Crop Insurance, protecting the Eastern Corn Belt since 1980. Learn more at cropcoverage.com.
Thanks, Joe. We're going to change directions now. Talk about farm data, big data, and the evolution as farm-based big data systems and tools have come a long way since they first appeared in the form of yield monitors on combines. USDA's Rod Bain has more.
Farmers, you might actually remember when the big data revolution started in agriculture.
Years ago, probably the initial source of big data was on harvesters. Yield monitors were one of our first big data generation machines that we had on farm.
And Kendall Kirk of Clemson University also reminds us that when this first step in the evolution of big data on the farm took place,
the cloud computing opportunities where cost has gone down to enable some of that, those weren't there. Connectivity was not there.
So if a producer wanted data from their harvesters and their yield monitor displays,
it wasn't to put it on a jump drive. Instead, it was to put it on an SD card. And in some cases, floppy drives even prior to that.
To say the systems of agricultural big data and the tools used to collect it have come a long way is perhaps an understatement, especially with advances in connectivity.
And all of a sudden now you've got not only data coming from a yield monitor that shows you, for instance, during grain harvest, how much grain did you harvest from this area of the field versus that area of the field. But now we have sensors on our planters. We have sensors on our irrigation systems. We have soil moisture sensors that we install in the field. We have soil information that we collect with machines such as electrical conductivity.
Another evolution in big data has been how this information is managed. Kirk acknowledges that out of necessity, as technology advanced, most big data was collected initially through proprietary systems, proprietary as in company, and by piece of equipment, creating proprietary silos at first.
It's sort of been an organic growth of how it needed to develop. And now what we're seeing in the ag side is similar to what I think we've seen a lot of energy directed towards ISOBUS on connecting implements to tractors, to where we have sort of standard communication across those machines. And we're starting to see the same thing on some of the data.
Current developments and research in agricultural-oriented big data include a project called AgRec. Kirk describes it as an open-source data resource containing shared cooperative extension resources and information that a community or the world could share without going into an extension office or reading a physical manual. I'm Rod Bain reporting for the U.S. Department of Agriculture in Washington, D.C.
Thanks, Rod. That's what's making agricultural news on my farm. For my 102.7 WMYW, I'm Dusty Sonnenberg. You have a great day.